Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bank holiday vibes.
Bank holiday vibes. Nobody's around. It's really hard to get a cup of coffee in this place.
No one's going to listen because they ain't going to work.
I'm drinking what can only be described as a Coca-Cola energy cola, which has no taurine. Is taurine the enemy now? Is taurine the enemy within?
Yeah.
Can't have, you can might only be, have actually. Caffeine from natural sources. It says no taurine, so maybe taurine's bad. According to the Coca-Cola Corporation. Annoyingly, I went into the Sainsbury's to get myself a little cup of coffee from the little machine. No reusable cups available, or no cardboard cups, no nothing. It annoys me, Luke, because all of this, one-use plastic you shouldn't be having and all this stuff,
yeah.
It's very wasteful, which I agree with. I didn't start drinking bottles of water until about 3 years ago. So why should I have to curb my enthusiasm for the single-use plastic when everybody else has been running roughshod over the planet for all of this time?
And we are, I should say before we move on from this, we are touring in our guise as the Football Ramble. Go to ramblelive.com to get your tickets.
If you're a fan of Luke and Pete Show, you should get your tickets at ramblelive.com because
it's basically the Luke and Pete Show.
Yeah, it's basically the Luke and Pete Show about football, frequently not about football. With two other guys.
I just pour tea all down myself.
All down yourself. All on your little shotty shots.
I'm already
they
hot.
They look a bit boxer shortsy. I didn't expect that. I deserve that, quite
apologies
frankly.
To anyone that had problems downloading us last week. Peter.
What was that all about?
Peter.
I missed that, Al. What?
You going to front up?
Well, I didn't do anything.
Doesn't matter. Take responsibility.
Okay. I got the ducts of the computers that serve you the audio and gummed up with shit that I put in the back.
We fixed it with thermal paste.
I was posting cockroaches into it. It's where because they like it. It's warm.
Yeah.
A little bit
posting
dry.
Them in there.
Yeah, post them in there.
I told you I sent my mate a whole box of crickets, didn't I?
Mm.
Yeah.
Why was the Luke and Pete Show all askew last week?
I don't know.
Did we get an answer?
There was some sort of problem with Acast, apparently.
That's the thing with podcasts. It's so obscure, obtuse. It's so opaque, I'd say. You just wait around and it fixes itself after a while, doesn't it?
I don't think anyone knows what's happening.
No.
And everyone's just praying that it gets fixed.
Yeah.
When we do live shows, Pete, as under our Football Ramble guys, it has got a bit more of a Luke and Pete Show sort of feel to it.
Last day of school, innit?
Yeah.
Last day of school.
We're just chasing laughs.
We're doing how many shows are we doing? 14 in the UK? 17?
Quite a lot,
like
yeah.
Quite
yeah.
a few.
I'll probably be pissed off at you by the end.
I'll be pissed off at you at the start, so we'll meet in the middle and we'll probably have some good shows around about Wickham.
Nice.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
What have you been up to this bank holiday weekend?
I had a nice weekend. It was fun. It was very relaxing. Didn't do anything strenuous. Didn't overdrink.
Sunday night Chinese?
Had a steak.
All right.
Got one of those Gaucho. Deliveroo Gaucho. Deliveries. So I bought a rather expensive steak, which, you know, it's takeaway steak. It's never going to be as good as the actual restaurant, is it? So
I would say that if it were down to me for that, I would rather them deliver me a raw steak and I'll just cook it myself.
Well, how is that delivering food then, is it?
No, but I think you can cook a better steak at home if you introduce a delivery kind of thing, because it needs to, I mean, I suppose what they could do is take it straight off the grill, put it on the delivery thing and use that as the resting time.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to let a steak rest.
Exactly. So it's not too shoddy.
I can't do Deliveroo or Uber Eats or anything where I live, because it just takes too long and the food is a load of old shit by the time it gets there.
Right. Okay.
Like if I Deliveroo, say, anything really, Nando's, although Nando's did their own delivery, but it's the same principle. Nando's, McDonald's, maybe one or two others. By the time it gets to our house, it's just not fit for purpose.
Anything with fries in. I mean, like KFC made a big point of not offering fries front and centre because they thought that the fries wouldn't be very good by the time they got to the people.
Well, KFC fries aren't that good anyway.
You say that, but they're all right. They're a bit too, they're not crispy enough for me. They're not crispy enough for me. How's your weekend, Luke Mill? Where have you been?
It's pretty good.
You always chip off somewhere, yomping.
I was watching the cricket.
Oh, right, okay.
And I also, we also have friends visiting from the US. So we're doing the touristy thing with them. Of course, I worked Friday night, but then Saturday and Sunday, Saturday we did touristy things, and then Sunday I watched the cricket. The cricket was unbelievable again, twice in the same summer.
What's going on with our cricket? We seem to be not having the best start to things, and then...
Yeah.
Pulling out of the fire.
England were all out for 67 in the first innings in a crucial Ashes test against Australia, yet still won the game. Mm. It's crazy.
Is it Brody?
Brody
hit the ball and he knew it stayed hit. So he was like, yes!
That was Ben Stokes.
Brody! Yeah. Japan.
I'll tell you what's really funny is that, Pete, for those who aren't cricket fans, this will give you a bit of extra context, which hopefully you'll find amusing. So Ben Stokes did something at the same ground against the same opposition that Ian Botham, we all know about
Beefy Botham.
Yeah, that he had burnished his reputation at in 1981.
Right.
Now, the delicious irony being that he's also now part of the TV coverage team for this test match.
Right.
Yet Ben Stokes does it as well.
Yeah.
Arguably in a better situation and performs better. And so when it pans to all the people doing the punditry, both of them's just like deliberately avoiding questions about whether it's better than his, like all this other stuff.
Right,
Because you know, his heart, Beefy, is quite a petty man.
Yeah.
And so it was just quite funny to have him in the studio while it happened.
Did they ask the immortal words?
What are you thinking?
Beefy, what are you thinking? Because Botham posted a picture of his knob on Twitter, thinking it was a DM, saying, what are you thinking?
From the worst angle as well.
So
you got the actual shriveled nutsack front and centre.
Shriveled nutsack, not great. I mean, the penis isn't even up and kind of, you know, giving you a...
Standing to attention.
He's a tall man. He's a big man.
He's beefy.
Yeah.
His own emoji.
Little disappointing from Beefy there.
We talk about his penis quite a lot, don't we?
What are you thinking?
Peter, have you seen the new Breaking Bad trailer?
Yes. I think this might be a pile of shit and everyone's going to be very disappointed, Luke.
I think you will think that.
Because it's all about Jesse, isn't it? It's all about Jesse and...
How's Walt going to be in it?
What?
Flashbacks, I guess.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But I'm sort of also thinking that because it's Jesse focused, I don't think Jesse is as good an actor as we sort of realise.
I think he was excellent in Breaking Bad, and he's obviously had a few missteps since then. I think Bryan Cranston's a brilliant actor, by the way.
Yeah, but like he won't be in this as much, really. This is very Jesse focused.
Yeah.
So I think it might be.
But Aaron Paul's been kind of like addicted and impassioned in his sort of praise for Breaking Bad. Like he loves it, doesn't he?
I mean, right.
If you follow him on Twitter, he's doing like Breaking Bad like studio tours and stuff, even though he's in it. Like, he loves it so much. He's always talking about it. And then there was a bit of disappointment recently because him and Bryan Cranston announced they were doing this project together, which turned out to be sort of artisan liquor, didn't it?
Oh, right, okay.
So basically, people thought they were working on some kind of TV show together. It turned out to be they released their own brand of mezcal, which is like I think it's a Mexican spirit.
Right.
So people were disappointed in that. But Jesse Pinkman's not in the trailer. It's just Skinny Pete, isn't it? So I don't know. You've got to approach it with an open mind. It might be all right.
I'm just worried for men of a certain age who live there, and you.
Yeah.
You're definitely on the younger end of the scale, but like people my dad's age who are, you know, they walk past a Breaking Bad t-shirt, I'm the one who cooks.
Yeah.
I'm the one who knocks. I can't remember what the fucking phrases are. Los Polos chicken.
Los Pollos Hermanos, yeah.
When they walk past those T-shirts in Camden Market, they go, oh.
But that's why Walter White's so popular among people of that age, because they think, oh yeah, that's a bit of me, that. I could do that.
Yeah, my wife thinks I'm an accountant, but really...
I am. A tax advisor. I don't know. But something just to change trains very quickly, something that caught my attention this week. Did you see this story about why cornflakes were originally invented?
Yeah, it's old school, isn't it? It's
like, oh, do people know this?
Yeah, it's wanking.
Oh,
yeah.
We haven't talked about this on the show before, have we?
No.
How have we got to our episode 197 and not talked about the guy, Mr. Kellogg, who invented cornflakes, invented and marketed it as a healthy, ready-to-eat, anti-masturbatory morning meal?
Is it just kind of keeping you busy, or just not have any sugars in it? Or I'm not really sure how it all kind of comes together. Really.
Well, I think he thought it was almost like the food equivalent of a cold shower. It was so plain that he would just bring you back down to earth with a bump. Apparently, he was a Seventh-day Adventist and staunchly believed in celibacy and that sex was unhealthy and immoral. Mm. And he was such a firm believer that sex was damaging to the mind and body that he slept in a separate room from his wife and never consummated the marriage, choosing instead to adopt all their children. So he said if having sex with your wife was bad, then masturbation was just about as sinful as you could get. He called it a heinous sin, self-pollution.
Some dads are weird, but they make a lot of money with Kellogg's cornflakes.
Yeah, I mean, would you prefer your dad to be a multi-millionaire?
Why would you have the figurehead a big cock? The figurehead of Kellogg's is a big cock. What's that about then?
Subliminal message.
Yeah.
Subliminal messaging.
Terrible, isn't it? Very, very
unreal.
Strange. Yeah.
Very strange. I didn't know that you already knew that. I thought this was kind of a bit of a revelation.
It's a bit of a... Yeah, did you see that story? Oh, I love that story of the space fraud.
Oh no, yeah. So you linked me to this, but I haven't actually read it yet. So tell people what it's all about.
I'm paraphrasing because, to be quite frank, I've got a clue what's going on. But a space woman, an astronaut, was in space, and she apparently accessed a shared bank account while she was away. I think she was going through some troubles with her wife. And she accessed the shared bank account completely against the woman on Earth's her wife on Earth's
amazing to say that
opinions.
Her wife was still on Earth. Amazing that you can say that contextually.
Exactly. So apparently there's a court case about some kind of separation, I think. But I think it's the first case of space fraud or space crime, which
it's
is
not
amazing.
Really a space crime, is it? Well, it's just a great headline, isn't it?
She committed the crime while in space.
Yeah, but if you and I are married and we share a bank account, and I'm in Indonesia and I access our shared bank account, it's not an Indonesian fraud, is it?
I think definitely it would be, wouldn't it?
The location isn't relevant. Because you're accessing the bank account online, aren't you?
I don't know what the laws are, but yeah, I imagine it's focused in... But the actual act was perpetrated in space.
Sure. But I think a lot of sub editors who've got the opportunity to write a headline have thought to themselves, do you know what? It'd be bloody lovely to be able to write space fraud in a headline.
Well,
and that's
right,
what they've done.
Because that's exactly what happened. She did she committed the fraud, the estranged spouse's bank account. She accessed it while in space.
And she's going to.
First criminal allegation in space, which is amazing.
She's going to have to serve her sentence on that prison planet in Alien 3. Yeah,
exactly. It's exactly what she should be doing.
With all those blokes with the shaved heads.
She strenuously denies that she did anything improper, and she is totally cooperating. So there we go.
And I don't know about you, but I don't think that the next Alien movie sounds that good. So what's it about? In space, no one can hear you access a bank account fraudulently.
Exactly. God, the amount of 3, 4, 5 factor authentication I got to go through to access my own bank account. Usually,
I suppose
you get a text in space. Go on, your security number is 4-3 whatever.
I bet they got better broadband up there than you have in your house.
I bet they have as well.
I wonder what the jurisdiction is then. Because I would have thought, just because it's accessing a bank account set in a certain territory online, it would be just an open and shut kind of thing.
I'm not saying that there's different rules for space people, which are called astronauts. I'm just saying that it's interesting that the crime was committed in space. First bit of space crime, or alleged space crime.
And what are the flat earthers saying about it?
I don't know. Do they believe in astronauts?
No.
No, they don't. They don't believe in astronauts.
Well, how would they?
Yeah, you can just float away from the flat earth, can't you?
I don't know, I have to check. How do they stay there in the flat earthers' minds then?
What do you mean?
Because if they fly off from the earth, obviously they're in orbit in real life, but in their world, how are they staying there?
Oh, what? Well, you can fly away from orbit, can't you?
No, but what I'm saying is, Pete, look, what I'm saying is, so a flat earther could see an astronaut or a space rocket flying away from Earth, but as you and I know, it gets into orbit and it starts orbiting the Earth, and that's how it stays there. How do they think it stays there?
Oh, probably just rockets, I reckon.
Yeah.
Hydrogen's apparently going to power our radiators in the future, so...
Where's that come from?
That's going to be dangerous.
What, no more gas?
That's going to be dangerous. Obviously something will go wrong.
A hydrogen bomb in everyone's home. Pete, let's take a little break. When we come back, I think we're either going to talk a bit about more UFO sightings, or we might talk about people with interesting names again.
All right.
Let's wait and see.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oh, got a bit of a cough, and that was a bit of O-Town.
Yeah, get it blasted out.
Bit of blasted out. Emails, Luke Moore.
Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We're on a bit of a paranormal trip at the moment. Anyone who wants to email in about something they can't explain.
I see.
A huge amount of these are people walking home from the pub, as you can probably imagine. But someone sent in a really cool database that I haven't had a chance to look at yet. They were asked to put it together for a job interview. to show that they could collect and collate data.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
I haven't actually had a chance to read it yet, so we'll do that in future episodes. That sounds quite interesting. But, yeah, do get in touch on hello@LukeandPeteShow. We'd love to hear from you. If you think you've got something to email in, but you're not sure about whether to or not, definitely do it, because it's always fun to read them. This is from Lee Young, who helpfully says, I'm not Chinese.
Okay, good.
Even though he's called Lee Young. He says, hi guys, love the show. I just thought I'd share my UFO encounter with you. After spending an evening with some friends in Rabness, a small village near Harwich. Is it Harwich or Harwich in Essex?
Okay.
I was driving through the empty country roads into the next town. I don't remember the clarity of the night sky, but I remember seeing two downward-facing circular lights very close to each other moving across the sky. This grabbed my attention as the lights seemed bigger than that of an airplane and were not flashing. I pulled into a lay-by, got out to get a better look. The two lights flew directly over me. The craft was darker than the night sky, so you could make out its triangular shape. These two big bright lights on the underside of it. It was almost silent. Just a dull hum could be heard as it crossed beneath the clouds. To me, it seemed so big and flying very low, I honestly thought I could reach up and touch it, which I didn't attempt. I managed to take a picture on my phone, and after messing around with the filters, you can make out this triangle craft. I was convinced of some intergalactic visits, so when I got home, I searched the internet for anyone who might have witnessed this as well, but nothing local or recent was there. What I did find, though, were sightings from all over the world of triangle crafts, often thought to be the TR-3B Astra, which I think is a spy plane, but some theories claim it to be a reverse-engineered alien craft. Keep up the doodling. Lee Young.
Comes Razor.
What do you think about that?
It's probably the first bit.
There's the photo.
I mean, that could be anything, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Why are they always so badly photographed?
Yeah, that's the problem. So the photo, for those listening, is just like two white kind of
space
circles.
Testicles.
Yeah, space balls. The thing with this is interesting. Harwich, I mean, admittedly, I don't have to pronounce it. I think it's Harwich. But I looked up where it is, obviously in Essex. Essex is near Suffolk, of course. And there's American air bases, quite a lot. There's one really big one, or there's a few different ones in Suffolk. And all these things seem to be happening around air bases, military bases, that kind of stuff. So you wonder if it's just an undeclared military craft.
Or just declared and people just don't have access to that data. I'm struggling. I find UFO hunting so very tedious. There's just no need for it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. If it's not an airplane, it's your mind. So don't worry about it.
There you go.
I'm very much a poo-pooer.
Problem solved.
I'm like, who's in The Fly? Ted Danson. No. Who's in The Fly?
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum, yeah. In Independence Day. I'm basically the scientist who runs in and goes, everything's fine.
But it's not though, is it? He turns into a massive human fly.
That's in The Fly. But Independence Day, he's the bloke who says we're all fucked. But in Independence Day, I'll be the one going, everything's fine.
But the analogy breaks
Don't
down.
Look up there.
You're doing the opposite to that.
Don't look up there.
But there were aliens in that film.
Yeah, I know. But I'd be like, don't look up there. Then White House gone.
I love the idea of like 70 years of like repeated sightings and like rumours, and you're just coming in saying, if it's not an airplane, it's your mind. Don't worry about it.
Unless they have the good grace to plop themselves down on terra firma, I ain't fucking interested.
Yeah. Bit rude, isn't it?
Well, it's like
a bit rude just to be snooping about.
Remember when we were in Johannesburg and just had those lads in the in the trucks and they were just doing their rounds, just having a peek at people's houses and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like that. Rude.
But intergalactically.
But if they spotted a gate open, they'd be right in there.
But you must surely admit, Pete Donaldson, that, you know, there's going to be technology that we don't know about yet because they're not going to have released it. I mean, like the stealth bomber, for example, that was developed in the 80s, wasn't it? I mean, it's 30 years ago now. So there's going to be much better technology than that now, and they're probably just testing it out, aren't they?
Or not. Or just normal planes that we just don't have. Like, the army presumably don't put their planes on flight radar 24, do they? They say this is an army plane floating around or a naval vessel.
But wouldn't you quite like to know what it is?
What?
Wouldn't you quite like to know what it is?
What do you mean? As in, it'll just be a normal army plane, surely.
This was triangle
shaped. Or a Chinook.
This was triangle shaped. He was driving, so he definitely wasn't drinking.
Ian.
Right, email in hello@lukeandpeacher.com to convince this naysayer over here that this thing is real, because Pete, despite what he says, he wants to believe.
It's bollocks. It's bollocks. Find out what cuckoo spit is. Then get back to me, right? Once you've solved cuckoo spit.
I think the clue might be in the name there.
Yeah. Excuse me. Excuse me. Ian Kennedy. Hello, Ian Kennedy. Hi, guys. Recently on the Ramble, Pete brought up the 10,000 hours rule. We're talking about referees getting used to VAR. My teachers at school would constantly reference the 10,000 hours rule, and I'm sure many of your listeners are very familiar with it. However, last year when reading David Epstein's The Sports Gene, I discovered it's actually an urban myth. I like how he says it's, I discovered it's an urban myth, like... I didn't just read. It's an urban myth.
I've discovered this.
I've discovered this.
I've discovered Australia. How I went there.
It's based on a study conducted at the Music Academy of West Berlin in 1993. The school was known for producing world-class violinists, and the instructors were asked to split the students into three groups. Future soloists, those who would make a living playing professionally in an orchestra, and finally, a third group who would likely go on to be music teachers. The researchers then interviewed the students about their schedules, practice-wise, and estimated that those in the top group who would likely go on to be soloists had practiced somewhere in the region of 10,000 hours before they turned 20. And so the correlation that researchers had found had been reversed in the future, saying basically experts have practiced their skill for 10,000 hours, which is a real phenomenon observable across many different fields. It has become 10,000 hours are required to become an expert. So it's cause versus symptom.
I would agree with that, because I remember this. A lot of this came about when Matthew Syed, sports writer, wrote Bounce, didn't he? That 10,000 hours theory. Mm. I completely agree with that last thing you said there. That gives you the environment. Probably gives you the environment you need. It has to happen. But look, I can't get away from the idea whenever someone talks about 10,000 hours about George Best, who just who's just amazing and used to spend all his time getting pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, clearly George Best probably didn't practice 10,000 hours unless he did it as a very, very young kid, which I suppose is possible.
Well, it's like, I think they sort of said, well, 10,000 hours is the bare minimum. With practice, you need that natural ability and inclination to play the violin in the first place, according to Ian, a Scot in Toronto. A 30-year-old man from Portland, Oregon, called Dan McLaughlin, tested the 10,000 hours theory. He quit his job and tried to become a professional golfer despite never having played a full round of golf, by practicing every day until he had clocked 10,000 hours.
How old was he?
His efforts, 30.
All right.
His efforts picked up notoriety, and he got free coaching, equipment from Nike, and membership at fancy golf clubs so he could play with the pros. To cut a long story short, he now owns a soft drinks company.
Right.
Although he does have a better golf handicap than 90% of people who play golf, he fell well short of the required level to pay to play a PGA Tour event, which was his goal. It just sounds like there's a lot of variables.
Also, when you're starting at 30, I mean, that's way too late, right?
Is it?
Surely it must be. It must be when you must do it in your formative years. Your brain, I mean, like, I learning to play the piano.
Mm.
And it's hard. And I learned musical instruments when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, I was relatively decent at them, because your brain's like a sponge. Now it's much harder.
Do you not think that you, that because you are quite musical, and you do have some natural ability, you find it even easier than people who just have no ear?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. My piano teacher's even said that. Mm. But I think when you're a kid, it's much easier, because your brain, like I say, your brain's like a sponge, and you remember everything and you can soak it all up. I think because the Tiger Woods thing would be an example, I suppose, based on what you said there. Obviously, he has a huge amount of natural ability, but he was famously... he drove himself very hard from a very, very young age. There's talk of him hitting golf balls when he was like two and stuff. Mm. Serena and Venus Williams were enrolled in tennis coaching courses before they were even born by their father.
Right.
So he obviously had a plan for them. And there's a lot of controversy around that as well, of course, because they're children. So I think you're right. I think there has to be an innate amount of natural ability. But I think if you are going to go down that 10,000 hour rule, it has to be at a formative age.
Mm.
I don't think you and I now, I mean, there would be athletic restrictions to it anyway. I mean, we couldn't say at the age of 38, oh, by the way, we want to become Olympic sprinters. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Mm. But that wouldn't happen anyway, because there's clearly certain people are predisposed to certain types of sport, aren't they? So
I watch a lot of graphics card YouTube videos. So
right,
I've probably clocked up a few hours this past few years.
Are you the first human genius graphics card?
So I reckon I could probably fit a few graphics card in the future. So I could be the graphics cards guy, the GPU man.
No, but that only works if you could yourself become a human graphics card.
I'm not sure that's how it works.
You just reminded me to ask you something.
Mm.
Could you, in theory, right, this is a bit of a bizarre question, but in theory, could you put like a USB port, install it into your body, wire it with the right technology into like your brain, and have your brain download US stuff from USB?
What do you mean? As in download?
So information on held on like a device.
Yeah.
Plug it into the USB into the skin, and download it to your brain.
How would that?
Well, I'm asking you.
Well, I think that haven't they? Didn't somebody manage to do a brain scan and interpret the brain scan? And they could, if you thought of an animal, they could sort of get a really, really, really fuzzy picture of what you were thinking about.
I think
that's the case, but no.
Well, people severely disabled people are able to move cursors on screens with their minds now, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah.
So it's not the only realms of possibility, right? Mm.
But aren't they sort of tied to muscular receptors rather?
Sensors in the brain.
Yeah, but which move the muscles. So like you're kind of thinking about moving, I don't know, your arm in a certain way or your eyelid or something.
Yeah.
Like you're thinking about how to move that cursor. And that's what that part of your brain sort of stimulates the sensors.
Because I don't think I'd be able to do it because I think I'd just spend all my time thinking about dinner.
Pornhub. It'd be really, really hard to close that window down if you've got control of it with your mind.
But the reason it'd be like in that scene in the Inbetweeners movie where he's got a dead hand.
Right.
And he's trying to shut down the porn when his mum walks in, but he's numbed his hand so he can't. But the reason I ask that is because it sounds like a bit of a basic question, I suppose.
Mm.
But when you look at a hard drive, it's just information, right?
Mm.
And your brain really is just information too. So you wonder whether they would be compatible in any way.
Well, no.
All right, well, there would need
to be some conversion, wouldn't there? There'd need to be some
conversion
into how that information will get into your brain.
I just the idea of seeing someone with one of those on them.
We could do that bit.
Yeah, just for show.
Do a bit today.
Just
get the eye, dude.
Oh, next week. Looks infected, Pete.
Let's
squeeze one more email in before we go.
Right.
This is from Ewan Burns. He says, how many Ewans are listening? Hello. I probably missed the chance here because I saved lots of episodes for my summer job barcoding school uniforms.
Wow.
I don't know what that means. But hearing there are multiple, i.e. three, young Ewans listening to the pod, I want to know how many Ewans are listening in total. I find we are like buses. I never meet another one, and then I'm sat next to two others in an A-level class. There's also a bizarre amount of spellings, so this should be read out. Let's see how many different spellings there are of Ewan as well. I'm 19 years old, and I'm called Ewan. Keep up the good work, Ewan Burns.
Ewan Burns.
I'd like to know how many Lukes and Peaks there are.
Mm.
If you're a Luke or a Pete, email in, and we'll count them up.
I mean, give us something other than that, to be honest. I mean,
we'd love some information as well, yeah. So I can download to my brain from my USB port.
Exactly.
That'd be good. It's always nice to know. One of my best friends at school was called Ewan.
That might be the dullest fact you have ever given the people on the
Stick
Luke
around.
Show.
Yeah. Stick around.
Stick around for Thursday's show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's get out of here because it seems we are approaching the lowest points.
That was Bank Holiday special, that. Absolute Bank Holiday
with
special.
With a Bank Holiday performance.
Everyone listening to this has got a hangover. Every single person.
All right, then. Let's get out of
here. See you on Thursday.
Email. We'll see you on Thursday. If you want to get to the show, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.